Right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again. We've been talking about grace for a couple of weeks, and we talked about the power of grace. We talked about strength being made perfect in weakness. That's grace. Now we're going to talk today about my grace is sufficient for thee. Grace is sufficient for me and for thee. It's really, it removes all excuses, all of the lame excuses for not serving God, not knowing, fainting by the wayside, you know, it removes them all. Strength is made perfect in weakness. You can't get too weak. Grace is sufficient. You can't get too discouraged. Grace is sufficient. You can't get too faint. Grace is sufficient. He is able to make you stand. How does he do that? Grace. He don't do it by force. He does it by grace. The sweet, wonderful influence of God on your heart. That plays out in your life. That strengthens you. That keeps you going. Let's read this verse. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And it's Paul's thorn in the flesh. This is what it came to. Paul prayed three times. The Lord said no. And he said unto me, the Lord said to Paul, that's where we're at here, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, says Paul, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. All right, Father, thank you for the good songs. Thank you for the song they just sang, how true those words really are. Must have been some of that oil Seth was just talking about. Some of the Spirit's influence had to be on those words as they were written long ago. I pray, Lord, you'd bless the Word of God to our heart now and help us to listen and get some help this morning for our souls in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to say it again, and I think it's something that has to be said over and over. Grace is more than unmerited favor. Yes, sir. Now, if you want to call grace unmerited favor, it is, but that's not what grace really is. I mean, grace, that's only one aspect of the grace of God. That's just one aspect of the grace of God. Just the knowledge of God's unmerited favor alone would not be sufficient for all that we encounter while we live this life in this world, this cursed, sin-cursed world. Just the knowledge that God feels kindly toward me, that's not enough to get me through. There has to be more than just knowing that God's not angry with me. Just knowing that God's favorable, looks upon me favorably, that's not enough. And that's not what the essence of grace is. It's much more than that. It's so much more than just the knowledge that God is favorably disposed toward us. You know, of the vilest, most unrepentant sinners who ever lived, it could be said that they experienced, they received the unmerited favor of God. Have you ever thought about that? It absolutely can be said of them. Because, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the Bible tells us. And God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. So, favorable? If it's just unmerited favor, then everybody got it. Everybody got it. But everybody is not a partaker of the grace of God. Everybody has experienced, received, and been blessed with the mercy of God. Because if every sinner got what he deserved, he'd die the minute he broke God's law. But God's merciful. His mercies are renewed every morning. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, we can truthfully say that everybody, including the vilest sinner who ever lived, has experienced and been a and received the unmerited favor of God, or God would have killed him long ago. But God showed him plenteous grace and plenteous mercy, but the sinner rejected it till he died. And so he was not a partaker of the grace of God. So there's got to be more, you see? It's more than just unmerited favor. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Get that fact. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. They've all seen it. They've all heard of it. They've all experienced it. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. But not all came under the influence of grace. Not all became partakers of His grace. So for the Christian to call grace unmerited favor and stop there in their understanding of this matter is a great error. And naturally gives a distorted view of salvation and the life of the redeemed here in this world. It does. Now, I don't know how anybody could disagree with that. You know, I know it lights their fire when you push back against unmerited favor being the definition of grace. But they ought to, any reasonable person could hear what I just said and they'd have to agree with me. Or else they're just totally unreasonable. They're one of those unreasonable men that Paul talked about. Grace has got to be more than just the favor of God. It is part of the meaning of grace. Favor. Yeah. Grace has brought us into union with God and favor with God. Yes, for those who are partakers of it. Grace is sufficient to deliver from the bondage of sin. It's sufficient. Now, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, just for a few minutes here. It's not lacking. It never comes up short. There's never not enough. It's never insufficient. It never fails. Never fails for the real child of God, the one who is a partaker of His grace. The lost see it. They're around it. They receive of His grace, but they're not a partaker of His grace. You see the difference, the distinction? All right. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." They say faith is the gift. I don't see it that way. If faith's a gift, why don't He give it to everybody? If He's a just God, how can He give it to me and not to you? Or how could He give it to you and not to me? Why? Because faith is what we're commanded to do. Faith is our response to the truth of the Word of God about the character and the person of God. The Word of God tells us what He's like. And we either say no or we say yes to God. Faith is trusting God. And so we're saved by faith. Can faith alone save you? Well, of course not. And the answer is no. We're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Right. Faith is what gets us into the grace of God. We can't have the grace of God. We can't be a partaker of the grace of God without faith. That's why the lost, they are... they receive the grace of God from God. I mean, God is gracious to them. There you go. That's the way to say it. Yeah. And they do. They receive the mercy of God. And the grace of God is there for them. But they won't enter into it through faith. They won't trust God. They trust themselves. They resort to themselves. They rely on their self. Confidence, their self-reliance, and all of that. So it's either self or God. Faith. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. The same grace that brings us to Christ and the salvation of our soul is the same grace that teaches us to live godly and righteously after we're saved." Titus chapter 2, we read verse 11. We read it again and read 12 and 13. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us..." Now, It didn't change subjects. The grace of God that brings salvation that appeared unto all men. This same grace that saved you, that brought you to salvation, teaches you, after you're saved, this. To that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The virgins you talked about, Seth, the grace of God teaches us to wait for the Lord to come back. And it teaches us, while we're waiting, to deny ungodliness. To deny it. To avoid it. To reject it. Not allow it in our life, in our thing. The grace of God teaches us to do that. Same grace that saves you, teaches you. Same grace that teaches you and that shows you salvation and brings you and delivers you from your sin brings you to the understanding that you got to live right as you go on. And it's what guides us so that we can. Let me just say what I got here. The grace of God is sufficient for that. Now, if the grace of God has brought us salvation, brought us to salvation, then our holy living and forsaken sin does not depend on some other person instructing us. Now, see, that ain't what everybody believes now either. They believe if you don't disciple people, it's all up to us to disciple them or they ain't going to make it. There ain't no way they can live for God unless we show them how to do it. There ain't no way they can know the difference between good and evil unless we tell them what it is. And teach them. And write it out for them. How many times have I heard that? Well, they just fell out because there wasn't nobody to disciple them. Well, what about the grace of God? It's sufficient for that. I've read lots of stories about people saved in jungles and China and other places and didn't have nobody to instruct them or teach them. They made it. When somebody else come across them years later, they were living a pretty holy, godly life without the instruction of other men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. It's the grace of God that does that, not us. It's sufficient for that. God's able. He's able to make us stand. It's God who saves us. It's God who teaches us. It's God who keeps us. We take too much on ourselves. That old self-reliance ain't gone in all these people that think it's up to them to teach everybody else or they ain't going to make it. Ain't nobody going to make it if I don't help them, if I don't teach them. You know, it burdens my heart and I weep about it. But I don't, you know, it doesn't put the burden on me. Like, and I don't go on these guilt trips when people quit. And when they turn away from God, I don't say, well, it was my fault. I should have done more. No, they failed of the grace of God. Right. The grace of God didn't fail them. And I don't consider that I failed them because it's not my responsibility or burden to keep you. If God's grace is not sufficient for you, well then, I certainly wouldn't be either. My wisdom, my understanding, whatever I could teach you, whatever I could give you, whatever I could do for you, ever how I could encourage you, ain't going to do it either. That don't mean I shouldn't encourage you. That don't mean I shouldn't be burdened about you. Don't mean I shouldn't try to help you. But that ain't going to do it. Y'all understand that? It's the grace of God. That's sufficient. Not us. We're not sufficient in our of ourselves. I may have that scripture here. I don't know if I'd put it down or not. I read it this morning. The grace of God. When people try to instruct other people in how to live holy, what happens? It becomes a creed, a cult, a religion without the grace of God. That's what happens when people try to teach other people how to be holy and live holy. They talk about legalism. That's what it is. The part that we all have in helping one another to live holy, though, is simply our example as we are partakers of the grace of God. That is the powerful thing. That's the thing that makes the difference in other people's life. I've said it over and over. You'll hear me say it a lot more times as long as I live. But example is the strongest influence. I can tell you what's right and wrong and teach you everything that I know, but that ain't going to do nothing. What's really going to make a difference, and if there is going to be any difference made in somebody's life, it's going to be watching somebody else as they experience the grace of God through their troubles, through their trials, through their weakness. And there's always strength, and there's always comfort, and there's always hope in them. That affects other people. Because the world is beating you down. The world's saying you ain't no good and you ain't going to make it. And the world gives you, takes away all of your hope. But for a child of God that's in the grace of God, that never happens. And if it does, it's just for an instant, because the grace of God is right on time. It's sufficient. The grace of God will bail you out of it. Now, I know what I'm talking about here this morning. I ain't just saying something I read in somebody's book. I've lived long enough at this to know this is the way it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul said this, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." See? He said, I'm not just telling you creeds and religion, and I'm not just giving you a book of rules to live by. You just watch me. You know, as they beat me with 39 stripes or 40 stripes minus one three times. Watch as they put me in prison. Watch as everybody criticizes me and lies about me and slanders me. Just watch me and watch what the grace of God does for me. I can tell you about it, but you ain't going to understand. The best way you're ever going to understand about the grace of God is knowing somebody who's really living in the grace of God. Now, it's sufficient. It's sufficient to comfort in the deepest sorrow. You know, in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 29, it says this, "And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." The birth of Noah. And they called his name Noah. "Because," said they, "God will comfort us." You know, he'll comfort us. Now in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, "But Noah found grace." That's the first mention of the word grace in the Bible. Noah found grace. The comforter and the grace of God are mentioned together in the first mention of grace in the Bible. The grace of God is sufficient to comfort. That's what. The comfort of the Holy Ghost is a manifestation of the grace of God. Very simple. Jesus said he'd send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. He's the Comforter. The one who would, he said he would not leave us orphans. That's what the Bible says in Spanish. I'll not leave you comfortless orphans, orphaned with nobody. Jesus said, I'll make sure that he'll come and he'll comfort you. And when the Holy Ghost comforts us, that's a manifestation of the grace of God. See, the grace of God describes a lot of aspects of God's working in our life and in our soul. It's not a thing. It's not something of substance that you can put your hands on or your mind around. It's just the grace of God is the working of God. It's the many manifestations of how God strengthens and comforts and helps us and teaches us. We can go through the Bible and there's just so much. I don't even know how in the world to ever get through all of this. But I just want you to understand that the grace of God is much more than unmerited favor. It's real. It's power. It's the way that God enables us to overcome. It's the grace of God. Comfort of the Holy Ghost, manifestation of the grace of God. Noah, the word Noah, his name means quiet, rest, and peace. Well, boy, that ain't the way it was the first 600 years of his life, was it? But, buddy, when they got off the ark, it was quiet and peaceful. And everything was at rest. That's the way it was. And Noah found grace. Noah found rest and quiet and peace. And it spread to other people. I mean, it involved the whole world. And so, God doesn't, you know, no child of God has ever found the grace of God insufficient in his deepest sorrow. Now, you can have some sorrow in this life. You will have sorrow in this life. Everybody sitting here this morning, there's different degrees of it. Nobody's got any real deep, deep sorrow this morning right here. I don't see anybody that I know that's, you know, we've all got a little bit. There's things bothering us, burdening us about other people, about loved ones and things like that. But boy, listen, there can be some things happen in your life that brings deep sorrow. Now, if the grace of God can't get you through the minor sorrows of life, like just being unhappy with your job, just being aggravated because you ain't got enough money, you know, just having trouble with this or that or the other, if the grace of God is not sufficient there, what are you going to do when the big things come? I mean, if the footmen tire you out, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? Well, you better get in the grace of God. You better know what it's like. You better know how to put yourself in the grace of God. I mean, and live in God's grace. Because you're going to need it. And it is sufficient. We'll surely have sorrows in this world. But no child of God will linger in despair. That's important. You know, if you don't get that, you're going to miss the whole message here this morning. We, as a child of God, we do not despair. Amen. Despair means void of hope. Now, how can you be void of hope if you're a child of God? You may not be able to see, and very likely you won't be able to see your way out of some situation, some tragedy, some sorrow, some weakness, all of these things. You may not be able to see your way out of it. You may be put in a corner where you say there is no way out of this. I've been there. Ain't no way. There's no way. No way to go on. But you know what I found, and what every child of God, I believe, I really believe is every real child of God finds the grace of God sufficient. He'll find, I mean, God will just throw him a rope. It's the way it happens. Out of nowhere, help shows up. May not be visible to anybody else. Everybody else may not change one thing about the situation. But in your soul, there, to the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. There's just hope comes. Strength comes. That is the grace of God. That's how it works. Oh, don't you feel sorry for the people that live. The mass of humanity lives. And the mass of people who's sitting in church pews this morning, they live their life without ever knowing that. Without ever experiencing that. They talk about the grace of God just being the unmerited favor of God, and that's all they ever understand and all they ever know. And when their troubles come, the people who taught them that have robbed them of the real truth of the grace of God. Those who would make allowance for despair in the life of a Christian obviously do not believe what the Bible says about the grace of God being sufficient. You know, I'm going to hit it. And, you know, this is where you really hit a stump in our day because everybody's eat up with this worldly philosophy about everything. But, you know, a child of God, how can you despair to the point of ending your own life? I have known preachers. I've known of several of them doing it. And, you know, everybody just accepts it now as well. You know, that's just the way it is. Boy, life's rough and everything gets bad. And you can just, I'm telling you, you can just do that. What about the grace of God? That's my question to you. You preach and say you believe in the grace of God, and then it's not sufficient for whatever your problem is. Whatever your sin might be, whatever your trap or calamity that's come into your life, what about the grace of God? Don't tell me that light don't arise in the darkness, because the Bible tells me it does. Right. Don't tell me the grace of God wasn't sufficient for them, but it is for some people, because that ain't what the Bible says. Right. The grace of God is sufficient for thee, no matter what happens. How can we fault God and belittle God and blaspheme God because of somebody's weakness, lack of faith in God? That's what it amounts to. Lack of grace is lack of faith. If you don't experience God's grace, it's because you don't trust God. And it's just that simple. Sufficient to provide strength in the time of greatest weakness. That's when the grace of God shines the brightest, is in our weakness. Now, we talked about this last week, but you know, when I'm weak, then am I strong. It's sufficient to provide strength in our weakness. That's when grace shines the brightest. It's in times when we're absolutely helpless and without any means of effecting our own deliverance. That's when the grace of God is sufficient and it shines forth. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said that was the words of Jesus. That's what Jesus said to him. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. We see so many people who appear to make an attempt at being a Christian, but they fail and fall by the wayside and return to their old life of sin. Why? Well, we shouldn't excuse them because of their weakness or our weakness or the weakness of the church or the weakness of whatever, God, or the circumstances of their life. It just boils down to this: God's grace was sufficient for them, but they turned away from the grace of God. You can't have the grace of God without faith in God. You know, there's just a big difference. Here's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. A believer has decided to believe God, and he lives looking for reasons to believe God even more. The unbeliever may say he believes God, but he's always finding reasons not to believe God. There's your difference right there. Examine yourself right now. Is God always on trial? Is he always up for questioning in your mind? Do you always say, why God? Why would you do this? Why don't you let me? Why can't I have? Why do you do this to me? Well, that's unbelief. It marks you as an unbeliever. Since the day that I surrendered my life to God, I've never lived that way. You know, I don't look through the Bible looking for mistakes. I look through the Bible looking for truth. Yes, amen. I read the Bible and study the Bible looking for things that go together to make truth instead of looking for ways to contradict one another. Yes, sir. That's an unbeliever. Not a partaker of the grace of God. You want to live in the grace of God? Start believing God. And start trying to believe God. Start looking for reasons to believe Him instead of reasons not to believe Him. You think He's going to come to your help when all you do is doubt Him and question Him and accuse Him all the time? I'm working on a message here, and one of the things about it is Satan's always on your side. He's always saying, they ain't doing you right, and you ain't being treated right, and there's more that you could have if you just would give up on that. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he's always for you. That's the devil, man. That ain't God or the Holy Ghost, and that ain't the grace of God. Grace of God's there for those who have come to zero about all that. Doesn't matter how everybody treats me. Doesn't matter if I'm treated right or not. I don't believe Jesus got treated right when he was here on this earth. And I don't believe God has ever been treated right by mankind. Do you hear him complaining about it and murmuring and feeling sorry for himself? sufficient. We shouldn't excuse people because of any reason when they walk away from God, because the grace of God was sufficient. They just refused it. All right, sufficient to give wisdom and to the greatest of fools. The grace of God is sufficient to give wisdom to the greatest of fools. Oh, not many wise, not many noble, not many of these big people. That's not the kind God chooses. Who does He choose? Oh, yeah. Paul said we're fools for Christ's sake. Let me read this verse to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this: the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. Toward you, he's saying. By the grace of God. That's how you understand. By the grace of God. With God's help, God's presence, God's favor, God's influence. That's how you understand. That's how you know things. And so it doesn't take a high IQ. Doesn't take a big education. Or any kind of education. The most simple person on the face of the earth can understand and have wisdom by the grace of God. And I've seen it. And I'm sure you have too. Out of the mouths of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength. Out of the ones who know the least. How? How's that work? The grace of God. Just being in the presence of God. Walking with God. Believing God gives you understanding that your teachers never had. I understand more than my teachers because I love thy law. That's how it works. Yep. A true Christian is someone who has been emptied of himself. He's recognized that his self-confidence, his self-esteem, his self-reliance, and all the things that the world pumps so hard towards you and insists that you must have, his pride, is all in opposition to God. All that the world teaches about all that stuff is in opposition to God. All that is in opposition to the grace of God working in your life. Self-esteem, self-reliance, self-confidence. What do you got that you're so proud of? Where do you feel like you're able? See, the grace of God can't be operating where we think we can do it. I can do this. I'm going to take my hands. I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm going to be a self-made man. I'm going to do it. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to make this much money. I'm going to do this and do that. I'm going to go to this city and buy and sell, and then I'm going to come home rich. I'm going to do all this. Well, how can the grace of God work in your life if that's the way you operate your life? No, you're supposed to have said, if the Lord will. Oh, my life's in God's hands. Whatever happens is in God's hands. I'll trust Him if it's yea or nay, if it's good or bad, if it's up or down, if it's sadness or happiness. I'll trust the Lord. He's the one that's in charge. That's faith. Where does that get you? Into the grace of God. And you find yourself able to deal with it all. Able. Most gladly therefore, he said, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says it's better to have it this way. Little me and big God. Paul, trained Pharisee of the Pharisees, knew the Word of God, knew the whole system, had all the connections, and he said, I count it all as dung, and I just know Christ and have His power on my life. To have the power of the grace of God, I'll bear this thorn, whatever God wants to put on me. I will glory in it. Infirmity means weakness. I'll glory in my weakness, because when I'm weak, then am I strong. It's when you can know and feel and sense and experience the power of God, the grace of God. The grace of God is the power of God working in our lives, in our heart, in our soul, in our mind. Rather have that and be weak in body, have a hard life, have a lot of sorrow, have a hard way to go. I'd rather have it that way than have God and His power, than to have my power and my self-confidence and hold my head high and have everybody praise me and have everybody think I'm something. He'd had that and said, that ain't no good. I don't want that no more. That's vanity. End of that's bad. He's come to the knowledge that he doesn't understand much of anything. True child of God. He's recognized that his self needs to go. He's come to the knowledge that he really doesn't understand much of anything. Have you ever come there yet? You know, the older I get, the more I feel that way. You used to try to explain things and why this and why that and why this is going on in the world and why these people are that way and why what's going on. And the longer we go, the more I'm just like, I have no idea. Too much. There's too much going on here, and there's too many things and too many different things that there's no way that little old me can take it all into account. The longer I live, seems like the less I know. That's the way I feel about it. So this creates in the Christian a sense of being unable to know what to do by himself. You see, the person that's self-confident and self-reliant, they've always got an answer. They've always got a plan. They've always got a recourse. They've got a plan B, plan C, plan D, and they're going to do something. And they've always got something else to do. But the real Christian's going to come to the place where he says, man, I don't know what in the world. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Well, that's when the grace of God becomes active in the life of a person like that, that's trusting God. This is what opens the door for the grace of God to give him wisdom from above. When you say, I don't know what to do. And God said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You lack wisdom? Ask God. But you got to lack it. You can't say, well, now God, this is what I think I'll do, and this is what everybody else says I'll do. What do you think I'll do? He ain't going to give you his opinion. He'll give you wisdom if you ask for it. But he ain't going to throw in with everybody else. And this is exactly what happens. Grace is sufficient for this and gives to give wisdom where there is none. Do you ever not know what to do and then all of a sudden you do know what to do? The other day, you know, she had to go to town. I had Olivia. I was just sitting there, and of course she's tired in the morning, and she had her bottle. I was just sitting there in the chair holding her and looking at her. And I was just thinking and praying, saying, Lord. And I prayed like, I said, Lord, protect this child from the evil of this world. Lord. And you know, just that quick, it was just like in my mind, the Lord said, what in the world are you asking that for? Don't you know that's impossible? You live in this world. Everybody lives in this world. And you're not going to. How can you ask me to protect them from evil? No, the answer is you teach them how to resist, how to recognize, how to fight this battle instead of just asking for protection and shield for them. Yes. Well, I count that as what I just talked about here. That's wisdom. Where I just didn't know. It's like I'm praying like, Lord, I don't know what to do. That was really the underlying thought. I don't know how in the world. Look around me at the world and the situation everything's in, and what is this child going to do? How in the world is she ever going to survive this? See? I don't know. I don't know what to do. And the Lord gives wisdom. That's the grace of God. I count that as the grace of God. Sure do. Sufficient, finally, for whatever need may arise this side of heaven. The grace of God is sufficient. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things. Now, if it just stopped right there, that'd be a terrible statement, wouldn't it? Be opposite to what we're talking about here. But he doesn't stop there. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He acknowledged the grace of God, didn't he? He reinforced everything he said everywhere else in the epistles about grace. Grace is the power by which God delivers us as we trust Him, by grace through faith. That's the formula for all victory. Get this? This is important. By grace through faith. Now, what Baptist is going to argue with that? Huh? That's the basis of all the gospel. It's by grace through faith. That's what all of the Bible-believing so-called churches teach and preach. And even those who don't really believe it, they still fall back on that. It's by grace through faith. That's how you're saved. That's how you live in victory. Every victory in life, every victory, that's the formula for all of them, over sin. Victory over sin in your life, in your everyday life. It's by grace through faith. Victory over sorrow, it's by the same way, by grace through faith. You trust God, He gives you the grace. Simple. It's how you get saved. You believe God, He gives you the grace. And you're in. Sorrows. Sin in the Christian life or whatever as you go along. That's how you win victory over troubles in your life. Same way, by grace, through faith. You just believe God. Believe what about God? He's for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? There's your unmerited favor. It's the cherry on top. It's the crown of the whole thing. It ain't just the very definition of it. It's the final. How can I make it? God's for me. That's how I can make it. He'll help me with His power when I believe on Him and trust Him. Being in the grace of God is living in His presence and being under His influence. And knowing all this, and then knowing that we have the favor of God, that He's for us and with us, and He's promised not to ever leave us. Well, there's the... What shall we then say to those things, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How could you not make it? How could you ever say, well, God's grace just wasn't sufficient? I didn't find no grace. I didn't find no help. I prayed and God didn't answer. I tried this stuff and God didn't help me. It's because you didn't believe God. Very simple. To him that believeth, all things are possible. I believe that's what it said. To him, now you understand that a little better? To him that believeth, all things are possible. Well, you just command the elements in the heavens and they'll obey you if you just believe God. Is that? Well, that's what these televangelists would tell you and these kooks and crazies, but that ain't the way it works. Him that believeth, if you just trust me, you can overcome anything. I'll make sure of it. That's God's promise. And it's real. And it really does work that way. Yeah, amen. All right, well, let's stand. Are you a partaker of grace this morning? God's shown you grace no matter where you're at. To the vilest sinner, God has shown grace and mercy and favor and kindness. But are you a partaker? Have you stepped, from where it's just raining on you or falling on you a drop here and there? Have you just stepped all into a life of grace where you live by grace through faith, where God directs your steps? Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Lean not to your own understanding? Do you acknowledge Him in all your ways? Well, see, it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, it's the same thing all the way through. You believe God, and He'll help you. You believe, you do your part, God does His part. What's works? No, that ain't works. It's faith. I thought faith and works were two different things. Why you want to make faith works? A lot of them have. They say to believe is a work. That's Calvinism. So, you know, if you believe, even if you believe, that's a work of yours. That ain't no good and that don't count. What a lie out of hell. Mercy me. People turned and walked away from Jesus because they wouldn't believe. And He didn't stop them. He didn't force them to believe. He didn't go abracadabra and they believed all of a sudden. The young man walked away from Him and Jesus, beholding him, loved him. But he walked away. And Jesus didn't impute faith to him. His heart wept as he walked away. Grace. Man, I'm thankful for God's grace. It's the reality of God in your life. That's what grace is. The reality of God in your life. That's right. Do you know God? Do you experience God? And I don't just mean in these hocus pocus things, you know. We had a woman in church one time, it's testimony services, you know, you get crazy things going on. And you remember that woman that time up at Victory? I don't know if you was there, Dad, or not. It may have been before you even started coming or not, but during the middle of the testimony service, she went to tell them about she had lost some piece of jewelry or something, and said she prayed, and the Lord just showed her a ray of light, just like lightning pointing right to where it was. And I'm not talking about that nonsense. God's helped me find stuff, but He didn't do it that way. I lose something every time I work on something. I drop something and lose it. And how many times have I said, Lord, please help me to find this? And I found it. But He didn't show me with a bolt of lightning. It wasn't no spooking boogers thing. It was just the grace of God and the mercy and the favor of God. He just, there it is. Sometimes it took a few days. But I always thank Him, saying, Lord, thank You. I never could have found it by myself. Live in the grace of God. Won't you wade out in the water a little deeper instead of just barely getting your toes in the shallows? Amen. Father, thank You for the Word of God, and thank You for the grace of God, and thank You for the truths we've talked about this morning, and I pray, Lord, that it be something that would be a help to somebody. I believe every word I've said. I believe it's true. It may have been confusing to some people. I pray it wasn't. Pray that You'd straighten it out, Spirit of God, if it was, to whoever might hear this. But Lord, I pray that the message here this morning, that Your grace is sufficient. You never fail us. You'll never let us down. You'll never fail to supply the need of our soul if we'll just believe and trust You. And if we fail to have that need, or, Lord, fail to have the strength to overcome, it's because of our unbelief. It's not because of Your unwillingness to help us or Your holding back. Lord, help us, I pray, to understand this right and to walk in it now. And that we'll, Lord, see as life rolls on here and the years go by, I pray that we'll see the grace of God in one another. And Lord, when the troubles come and when the hour of death comes and when these things of life that overwhelm us come, that we'll see the grace of God working in one another here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Now tonight, we're going to have a fellowship after service. And, you know, we may just have a testimony service tonight. But don't prepare a sermon to preach. Just have a testimony. You know, something God's helped you with. Something God's done for you. Just something to praise God about. Thank God for. Some burden you have. I mean, think about it. I won't spring it on you all of a sudden. Now you got a while to think about it. So, let's come to church tonight. And let's have a good service and encourage one another. And sing a bunch of songs. And we'll have a bunch of testimonies. And then we'll go back here and eat our potato soup. All right. Amen. All right.